Greetings, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Psalms 103. Can't they take out your outline, but I can't they retrieve your outline from your Bible, and we'll continue on with the notes from this morning. It's always an exciting study when you study the theme of thankfulness. It's a good thing. I guess Paul said it well. We're bound and it's fitting. And so often we take for granted the richness and the fullness of what Thanksgiving does. And I don't mean Thursday. I mean a thankful heart. One of the things that if you have your outline from this morning, I had for point number three, which is where I'm picking up, blessings of always being thankful. It will move toward a more topical aspect. But let's get in the frame of mind. Psalms 103 is one of those psalms, certainly the first five verses that really... It is hard not to be challenged to preach that every year for Thanksgiving because it's so rich and helpful and instructive. So we'll use it as our key off, Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will be with us tonight as we continue this theme. Lord, every one of us who love you, long to live in a way that it's pleasing to you. And we know it's right and fitting to give you thanks, to ponder and reflect and remember the past mercies and to see your hand at work all throughout our lives. Lord, we could see your hand even before our conversion. And we are grateful and thankful that you intervene and Lord, help us to realize how a spirit of thankfulness, a soul filled with gratitude to the things of God, to the person of God, and to his rich mercy strengthens many, many other graces in our lives. And sometimes we forget that. We just categorize them into the various parts instead of realizing when we are strong in one, we're strengthened in the others as well. So Father, be with us tonight as we look at your word and ponder these thoughts and for your glory. And above all, may we be truly a thankful people. In Christ's name, amen. I simply entitled this point, blessing of always being thankful. One of the things that we have to remember, just like God and his attributes, too often when we look at the attributes, we like to highlight certain ones we like or understand the most, instead of realizing that God is a composite of all of them together. Same is true when it comes to the marks of grace in our lives or the fruit of the Spirit. When you go to Galatians 5, the works, plural, of the flesh are these things, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit are these things. And so the fruit of the Spirit is not these broken up pieces, but a cluster that work together. Pretty hard to have love, joy, and peace when one of those are out of whack and the opposite. Instead of love, you have hate. Well, pretty hard to have peace and joy. It worked together. And with that in mind, all I wanted to do was to take a little journey to help us understand when we really take serious this business of thankfulness. Again, I want to make the distinction. There's a difference between giving thanks and being thankful. Many of you know that. I've already been hammering this point for the last couple years once I came to grips with it. It's one thing to acknowledge thank you and then you're done and you're removed. It is another thing that you're always filled with or full of thankfulness and gratitude. I am talking about thankfulness, not simply the giving of thanks and just going through the motions or function of just giving thanks. We are to give thanks verbally and in the heart, but let our hearts be full of thanks. When we are truly thankful people, and in the habit, as we learned from this morning, when Paul talked about we are bound to give thanks to God always, it is fitting. We read that this morning. We studied that this morning. And I want to key off of that. When we truly take seriously a heart that is thankful always, it will spill over into the other graces and strengthen them. And I'm going to show you some of those. And when you are not thankful and you are ungrateful, it will surface some of the weeds of sin in your life. And I'll point out a few of those as well. So when we are in the habit and always giving God thanks, a couple of things will happen in your life. We will avoid sinful habits and thrive in other spiritual graces. I decided to start with the negative and work to the positive and end on a positive note. So let's talk about the weeds that can fester when you're an unthankful person. When you won't give God what is due His name and it's fitting. Okay? One of the things that a thankful heart does, it suppresses a murmuring and impatient and complaining heart. You can't have a complaining heart and a thankful heart in the same place. It's either one or the other. You're either going to have thankfulness and you're not going to complain and murmur and gripe and complain to God. When we are not thankful for the goodness and the providence of God, we become fretful and we complain in our heart toward God. Well, we know better to complain to others. Well, you know, God, you know, what's God doing here? A thankful heart acknowledges everything that comes our way has a purpose and it's for our good. It may not be how you charted it or how you wanted it, because if you charted it the way you want, we would be pampered. We want the bed of ease, not what's best. And the one thing we have learned when we have studied the attributes of God and when we talk about the wisdom of God, God not only knows the greatest goal, He knows the greatest means to that goal. Sometimes we acknowledge the wisdom of the goal, but God, can't you do it an easier route? No, there's just some things don't happen without some difficult things in our lives. And nobody knows better than God. So when we are unthankful to the goodness and the providence of God in our life and begin to complain and murmur and Now, we're really good at poker faces, looking good, but God knows the heart. That's where I'm going. Ungratefulness jaundices and sours the heart and robs it of expressions of joy and blessedness. You see people who have the look of joy, but then you have people who have joy. There is a difference. One is manufactured on a drop of a hat, flip of a switch. The other, it flows from a heart full of joy and happiness that only God can do as you walk and live in the Spirit. We can begin to be critical of the gifts and mercies of the Lord. Sometimes even our prayers are mingled with complaints that sours all of our blessings. One of the Puritan said this, quote, "Murmuring is anti-providence and discontentment, by which we entertain crosses with anger and blessings with disdain." Let me read that again. "Murmuring is anti-providence and discontentment, by which we entertain crosses with anger." In other words, when we have things that come into our life we don't like, we get angry. Or it mingled with blessings with disdain. Well, this is not what I wanted. We are truly fickle creatures. We love it when all is going well, but brittle when God dares to get things in our way and crosses us of our worldly comforts and conveniences. We're so quick to get out when we're knocked out of our comfort zone. Business is not as usual. Probably because we need to understand that God has a better way. But the point is, thankfulness counterbalances crosses with blessing. Don't forget what Job said. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Job 1, verse 21. We talked about it in Sunday school. It was a great discussion in Sunday school. The one thing that we're in danger of when we look at Job, we look at Job's life, we look at Job, what Job went through, and we have all the answers. But let's remember, Job didn't have the window we have. We knew what was going on and why it happened. We don't have that. And Job said when it happened initially, he got hammered, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the proper way. He just truly was thankful. Does it not disturb you when you give a gift to someone? And it was what they wanted, but it wasn't the right size, right color, right style, right virgin. But nevertheless, you got them what they wanted, what they put on their lid, what you heard them say. This is the mark of an ungrateful heart. You had just given a gift that you wanted, but you are complaining about it. When we do that with God, we are questioning His wisdom. Again, Beth goal, Beth means to it. So when we have thankful heart, it drives away that murmuring and complaining heart. When you don't have a spirit of thankfulness and you look at past mercies and you enjoy them for what they are, indeed a gift, undeserved, unmerited mercy, and yet He graces us with them, He gives them to us, and we should be forever, daily, always thankful. And when we have real thankful heart, it pushes away the weeds of discontentment. If we are to give thanks for everything, then we need to do all things without griping. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. We learned earlier this morning, in all things give thanks. So, in all things, do it without complaining, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Another thing, when we have thankful hearts, not only does it suppress a murmuring, complaining heart, it prevents anxiousness, worries, and fears. Be thankful. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Be thankful for today and God's past blessing. Be thankful. We all know this verse, but we need to come to it often because it's just loaded with truth that hits it on a daily level every day. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer Okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the secret. If you're anxious, God ordained that circumstance, that trial, that circumstance. Rather than becoming anxious, worried, and fearful, go to prayer. Thank God for His goodness. Thank God for the wisdom of this. Pray to God no matter what comes our way, they won't overwhelm us. We have the promise that nothing will overtake us. He had given us wisdom to be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But here we need to understand that we need to give thanks and let your request be made known to God. Pray with supplication, with thanksgiving. The word anxious means to be fearful, to worry, to be stressful and troubled with cares. Yes, you can. I mean, why is it that some people whose lives seem to be constantly bombarded with stresses and they can calmly go through it, and others, they have a modicum of that kind of stress and they're just hyperventilating? Thankful heart and a prayerful heart will eliminate that. God didn't ask you to worry about tomorrow. He said, plan for tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow. Plan ahead. We know that. Word wisdom in that. But not to worry. Thankfulness pushes out anxieties, or anxiety will suppress a thankful heart. They cannot be together in the thankful heart. Together in the same heart. A thankful heart of the past mercy of God sets the tone for a joyful hope for God's care in the future. When we look at God's goodness and provision to the past, why are you worried about tomorrow? He's good. He's faithful. He's true. Your job, our job, is to obey Him, honor Him, glorify Him in all that we do and all that we say. Live for the will of God, for the glory of God, and the power of God. Okay? That's good theology, folks. Live for the will of God, for the glory of God, in the power and strength of God. Everything will be fine. And yet we have scripture after scripture after scripture that warns us when we are caught up on the cares of this world. Let me give you a few. Sometimes we don't think of it in this context, but Matthew 13, if you know Matthew 13, that's the chapter of all the parables. And here's the parable of the sower. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Well, we know that in light of an unregenerate people, but let's take the principle. If you're caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, but let's just talk about the cares of this world, the anxiety of tomorrow, covers and bills and health and whatever the case is that hits all of us. If we're consumed with that, it chokes the word. It chokes thankfulness. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? Put it aside. Everything in prayer with thanksgiving and thankfulness. I mean, with supplication and thankfulness. Luke 12:29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. That's Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, which I'm going to read next. Matthew 6, for those taking note, verse 25 through 34. In fact, let's all turn there. Matthew chapter 6. We need to read this. Well, Pastor, I know that. Well, we need to read it again. Because I see way too much worrying, fretting, anxiousness and care. It's sad that there's probably as many anxiety attacks in the life of God's people as there are in the unregenerate, which is a sad commentary because the Bible forbids us to worry and fear. It's a sin. Yes, you heard me right. I didn't slip here. It's a sin. Here's our Lord himself teaching. Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Okay, think about what he just said there. What does your worrying have anything to do to change your circumstances? Not a thing. No different than your worrying can't change your growth spurt in height. You know, gain. Okay? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, would not array like one of thee. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what that you need all these things. He knows. Oh, you don't think he's going to provide? Well, then why are you worrying? Excuse me. But here instead, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Yeah, don't think for a second that you don't have to plan ahead and provide your to pay your bills and get your food and so on. We know, plan, but don't worry. Give it your all, give it your best, trust in the Lord to provide what you come short. That's faith, that trust. When we have thankful hearts, based on Philippians, when we look at that Philippians 4:6, when we are anxious, when you catch yourself all of a sudden, oh man, why am I worrying? I need to go to the Lord in prayer. That's the answer. But you have to go changing something here in the heart. You have to go into your closet and pray and come around to say, Lord, I thank you. I don't always understand what you're doing, but I'm thankful because I know it's in your hand. I can trust you. I can count on you. I know you got the power to get me through this. You're controlling everything. When we don't do that, we get anxious and fearful. Number three, another thing that creeps up when we don't have thankful hearts is spiritual pride. It cures spiritual pride. That's what thankfulness can do. When we are unthankful for the gift and mercy he had given, when we are unthankful for the gift and mercy he had given, had forgotten the source of all blessing. When you simply are a taker and don't acknowledge back, we learned from this morning, Psalm 50 verse 17, when you fall into trouble, call unto me, I will deliver, you give me glory. That's the three-step process. When we, and folks, we're needy people. We need him all the time. And so when we think for a second, I don't need to ask the Lord for anything, or don't even go to, well, you know, I'm not going to ask the Lord for these little petty things. He wants us to bring all of our cares to him, small and large, because our trust is in him. We're humbling ourselves before him. When we don't, pride sets in. Here's the verse that you want to have. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Don't forget it. For who make you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? If you boast on something that you have received as a gift, that is nothing but pride. That is pride, it's sinful, it's wrong. It starts with who makes you the difference? Why did you get the blessing and someone else may not? God in His infinite wisdom dispenses as He pleases. And He is never, ever unjust. He has not given the partiality. He has no respecter to person. Everything worked perfectly for His glory. And yet all we see is the human level here. Oh, the external man. Look at so-and-so. Quit looking at so-and-so. Look at him. That's the source. But when we forget who makes the difference, then we start thinking we didn't receive it, we earned it. Oh, God didn't help me with the job. Oh, yes, He did. He gave you all the skills, the aptitude, the talent, the skills, even the drive within. You have to thank God for that. Because He is the source. Beloved, are we not indebted to His grace and mercies? If we have received anything, it came from His hand. Came from Him. 1 Peter said, we receive everything from God and for God. Not for ourselves or for our own glory and display. So let's not forget that when we do receive it, it's not ownership, it's stewardship. For His glory. He gives it to you for Him. Romans 11:36 lets you forget. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things to whom be glory forever. Amen. It doesn't get simpler than that. It came from Him, it came through Him, and it's for Him. Even Proverbs, that good book, Proverbs 16:4, the Lord had made all for Himself. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father in light. And when we forget that and become unthankful, pride begins to creep up. We begin to neglect our duty to be thankful. We forget that we're bound and due to give Him thanks, and it's fitting to give Him thanks. We forget. When pride. Well, I'm not a proudful person. If you're unthankful, you are. Scripture said so. Doesn't matter what you think. Scripture is the grid work what we compare ourselves. God is the source of every blessing, whether perceived or not. Sometimes we'll look at them, oh, how is it the blessing? Doesn't matter. His wisdom is better than ours. His way is better. Often those blessings come in the form of crosses, trials, and tribulations. Let's not forget Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To those who love Him. To those who are the called according to His purpose. So the whole purpose of Romans 8:28, if you read the rest of the context, it's all for His glory. Enough of the negative and the weeds, let's talk about the good stuff. Secondly, when we are using that text we used this morning in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, when we are always being thankful, it will promote and increase and foster other graces. It will strengthen others. One such grace is our faith. How can you not look back at the past and you begin to chart and chronicle and record God's marvelous answers? And then we talked about not simply the answer, but all of the repercussions from that one single answer that I talked and explained this morning. When you start doing that, it just becomes I want to take truckload. Then I was going to go semi-load. Universally loaded. It's amazing what we have in the way of reason to be thankful. And you cannot look at how he provides. He is faithful. Because they'll all keep coming back. Man, he is good. He is faithful. He is kind. He's always there right on time. And long, everything down the line. What is that going to do but foster our faith for tomorrow? For tomorrow. When we are thankful, we see and acknowledge the invisible hand that supplies our needs. The world doesn't see it. We better see it. The invisible hand that moves. That's why I believe it's the book. I want to make sure, could I sometime invert them? I think it's Esther that had no mention of God in it. And yet, God's fingerprints are all over that book. How can you not see God ordained all of this? I mean, how do you wake up a king? And I got news for you. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm not reading a boring book on Chronicles. And I'm not talking about this, a little chronological book on genealogy. That seems to be the most boring thing I can do in the middle of the night. But that's what God had that king do. And all of a sudden, it was recorded about something about Mordecai. And who do you think did all that? But God. But God. God did all that. So when we are thankful people and we take time to ponder and reflect and to truly be thankful, it strengthens our faith. Let's listen to King David. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? And he was talking about, he was stunned by how much the people gave for the building of the temple. Now we know David wasn't allowed to do it because he had blood on his hand, so his son Solomon would give him the commission to build it. But David was able to get the resources in the stuff, in the material. And he was overwhelmed. But here's what he said, which is a good reminder to us. Let me read it again. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you. And of your own we have given to you. Did you catch that? Everything came from you for you. That's stewardship. The world is constantly saying that's foolish. God says, I love it. It pleases me. That means you're living for me, not for the here and now. You can't, I mean, beloved, we've been going through the songs for a while. We're only halfway through. No, actually, we're two-thirds of the way through. But songs are loaded with passages on the thankfulness of God that bolsters the faith and generates hope. You remember one of the common recurring themes was suffering. And, oh, my goodness, Lord, we're at the end of our rope and we can't go any farther. And they pray and they cry out and they pray and cry out. And what happened? God delivered. What happened? They give thanks and worship and praise his name. Over and over and over. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 75:1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous work declare that your name is near. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 105:1, O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. It goes on and on and on. I thought five would suffice. Another grace that strengthens when we are truly thankful is love for him. Because how can you not see, as you look in the past, God's gracious, kind, benevolent hand in meeting our needs, answering our prayers, and always, often against our wishes, that charted in a better way that ended up better in the long run, to foster love for this God. But when you're not thankful, when you're not paying attention, and you're not entertaining the good matter in your mind and meditation, it doesn't produce that. It doesn't come out of a vacuum. It comes from meditation. A lot of times, God simply said, it's almost like he said, he'll make a statement if we simply obey it rather than ask why. And even if he answered it, why? And if I don't see the connection, it doesn't matter. If he said it, trust him, knowing that if we do it, he loved us, that it's going to turn out just all right. Especially in eternity, amen? Ultimately, let's keep the eternal view at the end. When God blessed and answered our prayer, it should always draw our heart near to love and adore him. Psalms 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplication. Because he had inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Did you catch it? I love him because he hears and answers. What is that but a fostering of thankfulness because he does hear and answer? And he made the commitment and a resolve that I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. I mean, at the end, where else are we going to go? Government? Good luck standing in line. Our trust in him, and he will never let us down. May we learn to be thankful people, because it will keep down some of those sinful aspects that we do not want in our lives, and foster other graces in our life. When our hearts are full of the goodness of the Lord, the tongue cannot hold its peace, as we saw in Psalm 116. How often did God answer for the sole purpose that we would draw near because of it? And yet, why is it that we don't have thankful hearts and have more love? Because if we did look back, we would have that. Thirdly, it would foster humility. Obviously, that's the opposite of pride, right? A proud heart is not a thankful heart. The humble soul is delighted in the praise of God. A proud soul is in its own praises. It's about me. I want the attention. Give me the credit. Give me the honor. Give me the glory. The world is so saturated. My goodness, look at the self, you know, the selfies you see. Like, give me a break. I hope it breaks when it, you know, why would you do that? It's not about you. I think it's appropriately titled Selfie. Proud people love to talk about themselves. We have a world that's fostering pride everywhere. It's all about you. Do it for yourself. Bible says the opposite. But yet proud people are lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. Be careful of self-love, where you can have all the religious trappings, but your decision, attitudes speak legion to who you really are. That's why Peter says in 5:5, 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Life is hard enough. I don't want God resisting me. So I need to root out pride and have humility in its place. Plenty in the Bible, if we're honest with ourselves, well, all you have to do is, when you look in, you'll go, oh my goodness, there's nothing good there. That ought to humble us. If you look at how big he is, that ought to humble us. When you realize how limited and impotent we are in anything, and how almighty and powerful he is, that nothing is too hard and there's nothing he can't do. That ought to humble us. But beloved, when you thank God, you are humbling yourself, realizing that without him, I am nothing. That's humility. That's why when our Lord gave in Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread. We even realize that, I mean, we take for granted, man, the grocery stores are full, our refrigerator and cupboards are full. But it still came from the Lord. That can all change overnight. Saw how quickly everything dried up when COVID hit. Things dried up pretty fast. God can create a crisis of a magnitude that the world has never seen. Put a stop, and it surely will humble them. But yet we know from Scripture, man is going to shake their fist at God rather than humble themselves before God. But beloved, we are his people. When God is good and gracious and kind to us, he answers our prayer, he intervenes, we see him at work in and through us and those around us. And again, they come from a gracious, all-powerful God, and we need it produces humility, because you and I both know we don't deserve it. Even Isaiah 57:15, we always talk about God's greatness here, but I want to call your attention to a word or a phrase, I should say. It said, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabiteth the eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who had the contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Now we always talk about contrition and humility, but let's not forget what he said at the front end that carries through, and that is, I dwell in the high and lofty place and with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit. I dwell with those people because I don't resist them. I give them grace. I draw near as they draw near to me. So beloved, simple, straightforward message on a few things. But how, catch the dynamic, and this is by no means exhaustive. I thought you might want to go home sometime tonight, and I definitely didn't want to do it this morning because all I would have hit was the high point instead of expand on it a little bit to explain it. But a lot of the graces that the Spirit of God is working and in and through us, they work together. And when you're strong in one, it fosters and strengthens the others and brings them all up. And may we continue to grow in grace. Amen. But let it certainly grow in the grace of thankfulness all the time, always, as we learn from this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing patience and love with us. Help us to realize that every good gift comes from you. If we get anything, we have received it from you. That she'll humble us. Help us to understand that you are the ultimate source always. So help us to be thankful. Help us to be observant, to meditate down. We don't need to invent things. You are there. You have been at work behind the scene. Your scriptures help guide us to what to look for. And yet so many of the unseen things are clearly explained in Scripture as your hand, your providence, your will decree being unfolded. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your care for us. Lord, we ask that you would bless us with yourself and with your goodness, and may we thank you for all that you've done. May we have a spirit of thankfulness every day. And may we have a great thanksgiving, but not to forget the bounty comes from you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.